In this era of grave spiritual crisis, it is not enough to simply know about your Catholic faith. That is why we need a Catholic toolbox to equip us with the practical skills necessary to live our Catholic faith to reach our ultimate goal, which is heaven for all eternity. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. for the Catholic Toolbox as we hand you the tools to go forth, live the faith, and change our modern world today. Live on the Voice of Charity. And welcome back to another week on the Catholic Toolbox, the art of practical Catholicism. I'm your host and founder, George Manassa, here on 1701 AM. We're not live on the radio. I think some aliens took the radio station away. Just joking. We're here on our exclusive podcast on the Catholic Toolbox as we equip you with practical solutions to live your Catholic faith in our modern world today. And we're joined this week by Akita Sanchez to speak about business networking. Catholic business networking. Specifically, we just did the episode on the Rite of Manhood about business networking. Now we're talking about Catholic business networking, which is very important and something which very little gets spoken about in the Catholic world around. Catholic business networking. It's something which is, I think, very important and needs to actually be addressed. So welcome aboard, Akita Sanchez.
Thanks for having me, George.
Thank you very much for being with me. So, tonight we're going to do a bit of business networking.
Wonderful. That sounds like a plan.
Excellent. You're joining us through Zoom here. And so, the program won't be live also on Cradio Online Radio this week.
Yeah. What else in this light of this this new world that we're living in?
We recharge to then go out after COVID-19, after all the restrictions are fully lifted, we're able to go out and actually be effective and in the world and to bring Catholics together, because I'm passionate about this, because there's nothing I like seeing better than Catholics who are business professionals in their organizations, Catholics who own their own businesses, and those aspiring to do so. Another one, or Catholics running an apostolate, can all get together in the same room. We're not talking about just people who are of Catholic background. We're talking serious Catholics, Catholics who are seriously practicing their faith. They are sincere. They're not trying to profit from church organizations and trying to put themselves out there to boost business, because we get a lot of that anyway. We're trying to speak about Catholics who are sincere, live the faith, love the faith, do business for the faith, and all are working together for the glory of God and helping each other out in a business context. And that's actually very important, because if you look at, let's say, a lot of cultures, you look at the Maronites, for instance, here in Sydney, Australia, and internationally, you often see that good business principle is that we help each other out. You know, you give business to, a Maronite gives a business to another Maronite, or let's say in Jewish culture, often I have several Jewish friends, and they've told me, based on what they've told me, they often try to support each other within their community. And you often get different other cultures worldwide. They try to support their own. It's about taking care of your own, or our own, essentially. And this is what we want to talk about. So what are your thoughts on the whole subject of Catholic business networking? What is it? What bell does it ring in your mind when I say that?
Well, look, I think it's a very important aspect to business, but also to our faith. Now, you know, a lot of the times we grow our faith through learning a lot of different things. And throughout my life, throughout my faith journey, I've met a lot of people who've led me to divulge into my faith even deeper, because I've met them and then they weren't essentially part of my inner circle before. So I think that's what networking brings to the table. Now, I know that some single Catholics are also going to say it's a great way to meet a spouse, and you know what, it is. So, but when it comes to Catholic business networking, you should also have a very business mind, like business minded kind of way dealing with it as well. So very collaborative, and think about what you're going to be able to give as well as what you're going to potentially gain as well. With networking, you never know what you'll be able to kind of gain, whether it's knowledge on certain things, on certain topics, on, you know, maybe a new recipe you've been looking at trying yourself. So it's a lot of different things that you never know you might encounter out there, as well as when it comes to the faith, you just never know if someone will bring you to a new kind of, like, maybe group that you've never been part of, or you've never heard of, because you never had a connection to that network before. So
exactly. And we spoke about in the Right of Manhood just here, and this is for secular people. Those who are interested, you can go to www.therightofmanhood.com, where I run a men's podcast, which is a secular podcast, which brings all people of all faiths who are men and even women who want to support men or even be on the journey to restore masculinity today and create a rite of passage, a practical rite of passage to manhood. We spoke about business networking, the essentials of business networking, but here we're stepping into Catholic business networking. How do we actually, what makes it Catholic is that instead of just being business networking, it's essentially all helping other Catholics to profit. So a Catholic who's practicing should be helping another person who is another faithful practicing Catholic within their own circle profit and procuring services from different Catholics as much as possible. But first and foremost, so keeping the interest in mind that your business comes first. You're not just trying to give work or business to somebody who's just because they're Catholic, will just give them a concreting job and they'll wreck the slab and or we'll just get them to dress me for my wedding day and I look absolutely horrible or do a painting job for me just because they're Catholic and do a bad job. The first interest that comes in place is business networking, which is I'm trying to find someone to find me good service. But Catholic business networking prioritizes Catholics above others. For instance, instead of I needed a stove electrician, an electrician who specializes in stoves, to fix our outdoor kitchen, indoor kitchen, because apparently the circuit is connected, it's on one line. And it occurred to me there that we don't know anybody that can do that, that specializes in stoves. It's a bit of a niche for the electrical field and electrical trade. So my first instinct was to go on Google and find somebody that can help me out and obviously fix and repair the whole circuit. I mean, it's just going to overload. It's just crazy. The second one was, look, I have a choice. I can Google somebody who I don't know and give them business, or do I message, I know a lot of Catholics within my circle, do I message someone who knows a lot of people that's a practicing Catholic that may know a good Catholic practicing electrician that can fix my stove? Or do I speak to my parish priest and say, oh, look, do you know somebody there that I can support? Because inevitably, that $100 for repair can go towards somebody who follow the money. Money is essentially trail that leads to the results in the world. Money is what moves the world, apparently. And the $100 could be plugged into the economy through someone who is not a practicing Catholic, an atheist, who's going to go spend his money on immoral things, even support immoral goods. I don't know where they're spending their money. I don't know how they make moral decisions. Now, look, it's none of our business. We can't take this to an extreme where every dollar, we can't go to Woolies. Where's Woolies putting their money into? Those are the large corporations. That's, we're not primarily supporting evils because we don't know, again, where microeconomically, where the money is going. But if I'm first-handedly going to choose somebody support money-wise, it should prioritize Catholics if I don't have a pre-existing professional relationship with somebody else. Like, for instance, my accountant is a Muslim. He's a good practicing ethical accountant, but in my business interest, it doesn't work in my favor to find a good practicing Catholic professional, unfortunately, because I have a pre-existing relationship and it would cause a bit of issues there to transfer somewhere else, possibly in the future, you never know. But it has to come first, where your interests come first. You can't jeopardize your business, your services, or let's say procuring a service just to help a Catholic. But if I don't have a pre-existing relationship, I should be seeking. It's the attitude of seeking someone who may be a good practicing Catholic, that then if I give them that $100 for fixing my stove, that will go towards contributing to, if you essentially think about it, contributing to, let's say, their family being open to life, or an apostolate they may be actually be running, and you want to fuel the fire there. And this is on a microscopic level, we're thinking. If 20 Catholics did the same thing for that same person, the effect would be greater. I mean, what are your thoughts on that, Akita?
I mean, definitely in a variety of sectors, it will have pros and cons. You know, when it comes to business, I do like to support small businesses as well as, you know, local Australians. And if they're Catholic, that's the biggest bonus I could get. Now,
exactly.
In terms of the health sector, you know, if you think about, I've chosen a doctor who's Catholic just because I know that he's going to have the more moral objective compared to, you know, just your regular doctor that's down the road. Like, sometimes I do have to go to the doctor that's near my office when I'm at work, and then I realize their point of view is very different and compared to when I do get to see my usual doctor. And you know, you come out of there with a lot of knowledge, but at the same time, you know that he's done the moral thing. You know, like, I know that I'm not going
to
be...
Your Medicare money of $36 per consultation has gone to someone, look, hey, who will... We're talking a practicing guy, someone that sincerely goes to Mass, believes the teaching of the Church.
We see him at Mass. You know, we know he's Catholic. We see him practicing. Like, I'm not saying go get a doctor that you can find at your own Mass kind of thing. But what I'm saying is, because I've chosen that doctor, I know that he's not going to prescribe me drugs that are going to go against my faith. So things like contraception.
And you're supporting him monetarily. So we're focusing here on supporting someone monetarily. You have the choice of going to a random doctor who doesn't, who you don't know, or you can go to that same qualified doctor. Again, if you don't have a pre-existing relationship, you have to look at your interest first. So the criteria is look at your interest and then discern, okay, if I don't have a pre-existing relationship, then I should try and find someone who's a Catholic. And how do I do that? How do I find somebody? I think that's a question.
That's where the networking comes in, George, where you have to talk to somebody who might not, like, who will probably know the answer to the answer that you don't have at the moment. So that's something that's very important. And that's where this networking does come into effect. It's when the word gets out that, hey, like, I know somebody in the community who can help you with that. And it's not just because they're the ones who are the best or they're the most expensive, but you know, you're genuinely supporting their cause, their you know, their personal statement, their mission. So that's something that's super important when it comes to networking in the Catholic sector.
Exactly. And look, they're equally qualified people. I mean, you either choose, look, I'm going to go with somebody who's not Catholic, or that's equally qualified, and somebody who is a Catholic. I'd rather be giving my money and knowing that my money is contributing towards. And if we're not just saying that one person does this, we're saying that if Catholics collectively put the interests of other Catholics ahead when it comes to procuring goods and services, when it comes to procurement, and I like to call myself procurement king. I see it as a game. You know, I used to do it for work a lot when I was in project management. It was a good game. It was a good fun because you see the cost saving. You see, you make decisions. Who gets business? Who gets $3 million worth of bulk materials? Which supplier wins a subcontract with us? Which company does get the contract, does win work with us, and who procures? So you have a lot of power in your hand to decide. And when I was working in project management, what I would often do is I often look who's in my Catholic network. I had a little spreadsheet. Who do I know that's a practicing Catholic that could possibly equally qualified? Again, my work comes first and the interest of delivering a project on time, cost, and quality come first. But then you actually look at, okay, well, we can use a concrete that we actually use, or that we currently use. Or we can use an equally qualified congregant that I personally know, who's ethical, who's a good practicing Catholic, that I'd rather award $1.2 million to. Who would you rather do? I mean, if they're equally qualified, we're saying apples for apples, quality for quality, accreditation for accreditation, and they're both good and easy to work with. I would pick the Catholic. Personally, I would. I mean, and we're not preaching this here as a moral obligation. Whoever you choose is not going to be morally changing for you. But it definitely is good to think of other Catholics and the implications it does have for your fellow faithful. That, let's say somebody wins a project, they are able to then... They may even decide, look, I can be open to more life. I'm financially able there. Let's say you're a builder, for instance, who builds houses, and you find a good Catholic plumber, a good Catholic electrician, a good Catholic a gyprocker, roof builder. Every single trade that comes together to build a house, and you're giving them constant work, because every house you build, that you're going to need a plumber to come in, do his work, custom to the project. And it's important that we have a choice. Either give money to, hey, people we don't know how they spend their money, where they spend their money, or we either give, we try, at least try, have it in the back of your minds, have it as an option that's considerable. We're not saying you have to, but have it there that's considerable to try and support Catholics. Imagine you're a builder, Catholic plumber, and he constantly has work because of you and a few other people who are other Catholics. He's able to expand his business, he's married, he has two kids, he's able to be more open to life, he's able to donate more to the church, he's able to contribute on that level to the church, grade the temporal goods of the church, because which are important. And it's very important to get Catholics helping Catholics. That's very important. That's, you look at, for instance, I'm of a Maronite Catholic background, Lebanese, son of Lebanese migrants. That same mindset is what has allowed, let's say, my parents' community to really flourish. I mean, them helping each other, they're doing favors, helping each other. That kind of mindset's actually very helpful. So, look, Akita, what are three practical tips that you can give how Catholics can actually network together and help each other out economically in order to then, what are we doing with that money? To then go help the church, donate to charity, build apostolates, help the work. Like, people say money is the root of all evil. That's completely wrong. It's completely wrong. Money is not the root of all evil. People's attitude is the root of all evil. If I hand someone who's poor and greedy money, they will still be poor and greedy. It's the machine you put your money into determines the outcome. If you have someone who's rich but generous and moral, you give them money, they're still going to be rich and generous and moral. So it's people's attitude that defines the outcome. So what are three practical tools of how Catholics can then take action to network with each other and help each other out, consider helping each other out, and be aware of that? Because this doesn't get spoken about. Not in the homilies. We don't speak about a lot of things in the homilies. We don't even speak about hell anymore. We don't even speak about sin anymore in the homilies. We don't speak about Catholic stuff anymore. We're going to speak about this? I don't think so. I mean, we're not at that level yet where we can speak about Catholic business networking. People have probably never heard this stuff or never hear this stuff. I mean, we hear that nice little professional breakfast that people go to in different church organizations, but...
I've been to some of them, you know.
You've been to some, yeah.
You do get to talk about various topics of those things, which is, I think, why it's important to put yourself out there and go to those events once in a while. And, you know, maybe it's at those events where you will get to meet your next plumber or your next builder or whoever exactly might be able to meet you, or the spouse of your next builder or something like that. And you just never know where you are.
Electrician, maths tutor. It's any kind of service. Someone who's a physiotherapist, a doctor, a GP, whatever professional in the world in the midst of your ordinary circumstances that you can prioritize in using. You don't have a pre-existing relationship, or let's say you have an existing, let's say, accountant, doctor, and they're not doing it for you, and you're looking to go elsewhere. You're gonna go elsewhere. You might as well consider, look, is there a good Catholic, fellow Catholic that can help me? Or someone like, for instance, I've recommended a good Catholic psychologist to certain people because they are faithfully practicing Catholics, and often in psychology, as he says, and a few other Catholic experts say, that sometimes the elements where it's subjective in those consultations, we're not talking the actual medical professional advice, the personal advice is often anti-Catholic, against your faith. The personal elements could be customized harmoniously with your faith, in that in the psychologist consultation session. So it's very important to notice that. But yeah, those breakfasts are important. But what else can we? What are some practical tools that we can actually take into action, Akita?
So that was the first one, George. It was to attend a variety of events. So
number one,
it might be, you know, an event that your church is hosting. It might be an event that, you know, a youth event that they've asked you for your support at, you know, anything like that, especially if you're like a parent and your kids are signing up to these youth events. That's a very important thing. If you go to these events, then you're more likely to meet like-minded people who are looking for the same things as you, and they might even have the same goals as you, especially with those professional breakfasts. Now, usually at those events, it's more tailored towards, you know, people who are working office jobs, and it's before work or it's after work, and it's easier to get to if you work in the city, for instance. Now, if you don't, and you know, sometimes it does take it out of you, like a 7 a.m. breakfast meeting and you live super far from the city, it will take it out of you, but it is worth it. So, you know, I've made the effort to go to those things several times before, and I've heard about people who I've never never encountered before, but they're actually quite big shots, and you know, I've been able to catch up with old networks as well and kind of build that relationship, and so that's something that you are able to get out of that. Now, it is, you know, not everybody is an extrovert, not everybody wants to go to these things, but if you want to get somewhere, you have to push yourself out there to get to know your community, get to know people who are around the same age as you, and get to know people who are of different ages as well, because you will learn things from them. So that is a very important factor. I mean, you're not going to be able to probably meet, you know, a cook in that situation, but you might be able to meet somebody who knows somebody, and build your future networks, and you know, kind of grow your relationships with people who are surrounding you, which is very important. So that is something that is really good.
So look, it's very important, I think, and not even just business networking events, but maybe your parish. You can conversate with people after they attend to parish events and get to know people on that personal level. And if you want the first step of the basics of networking itself, this is not relating just to Catholicism, but the first step, go to www.thewriterofmanhood.com. You can access on the Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and every single other podcast platform. On the Right of Manhood, we have that. You can listen to that then before, as sort of like an extract of information, a sidetrack of information for you to understand what we're speaking about here in detail. So now going to the third practical tool of what we can do to network. And I have something to say here. I'll give you the third practical tool, something very important, which is, and this practical tool goes towards the lay people and parish priests. Now, on a diocesan level, I don't think it's a bit too hard sometimes to network on a diocesan level, because, you know, institutionally it's so large, parish by parish, people can't keep in contact enough. But let's say the building block of the diocese is the parishes. So let's say in your local parish or wherever you go to mass, speak to your parish priest and encourage him to create a parish business registry, and interview suitable candidates who aren't just people who are posing as practicing Catholics who you may see once or twice a year. We're talking about like a proper interview, and even people that you know in the parish that are regulars. They go to mass, they may even go to weekly mass, they're practicing Catholics, and verify that correctly. Even volunteer your time as a layperson to help your parish priest, and create like a little booklet. Some parishes have often in the bulletin at the end, but or even a notice board. It's very important that we do have, let's say, a little booklet or a sheet of Catholic businesses. So support your own, take the business sheet, and they can list people who are obviously successful in the interview, and let's say you know. And there's different people in the parishes who are doctors, engineers, physiotherapists, teachers, tutors, professions, and they can contribute, and you're able to support them in their work. Why go elsewhere? At least you may even get a greater moral sense of in your work sometimes. again, given that they qualify, they are suitable. You compare apples for apples as a professional in what you're looking for. You're not just looking, okay, they're Catholic given business. You've verified those things, tick, tick, tick. And then now, okay, you may even get somebody who's, yeah, because they are practicing Catholic, they'll go that extra mile, work a little bit better because they have that extra moral dimension in their work. So
I do remember, George, a few years ago, the Catholic Weekly did create like a business database for people who were getting married. So that was interesting because they put a lot together with like photographers and musicians and things that people don't usually have access to. Like they don't realize who are Catholics. So, you know, Catholic florists, you know.
Exactly. You're going to get flowers anyway. Why are you going to go to, again, a Catholic florist, one florist, another florist. Hopefully they qualify. They're the same for whatever you need them for. There might be a wedding or a different occasion. But if they do both, and let's say you can negotiate a price, that may even be what I often try and even do in negotiations with some good Catholic people that run businesses or some service I'm trying to procure off them. Again, they qualify, they've met the criteria that I need in my own personal interest. That comes first. And then stage two is, okay, I got to pick between them and them. I say to them, look, somebody else offered me this price, but I don't want to go to them. I know you. I trust you. You're a Catholic. You're a brother. You're a sister. Let's help each other out. That's often a good negotiating point sometimes.
Well, if you think about it, like if I was to ask you, would you rather buy your next set of rosary beads from somebody who's made them with care and who's made it so like it's very sturdy so it will last you a few years, or would you rather buy it from some random shop that's made it in China, that's got it imported from China? So, you know,
a big shout out to Rosaries for Life. So go to rosaryforlife.com.au.
Yeah. So that's something that's also very interesting. Yeah. And I mean, you know, if you have a Catholic database, I think that's actually a really good move.
Personal database or a parish database, any kind of level, but start your own and then proceed. The third practical tool, suggest it to your priest, suggest it to your bishop. There should be, my vision here in Sydney, Australia, is that, you know, we can create some kind of business, Catholic business forum. And again, not just Catholic by name, but we're talking real, there has to be a criteria for you to join this. And and we have to verify that you go to Mass on Sunday, some kind of a way, in principle, I'm just thinking about it. And we join all together. We join forces. Together, we're more powerful. There's nothing more powerful than Catholics helping Catholics. We would not have lost the Battle of Constantinople had all Catholics, East and West, put their minds together, dropped their pride, and helped each other out. Again,
I mean, George, quick question: if you were able to, I don't know, procure the next project to build the next cathedral, which architect would you choose to design it? You know, someone who's designed Parliament House, or would you choose somebody who's designed an actual church and has church background and they pray and they know what kind of space is required?
Exactly. Somebody who just hits the AutoCAD straight away and starts designing specifications and curvatures and everything that complies to the state government and Australian regulations.
Not calling anybody out, but I'm just saying.
I think people can judge for themselves, but look, first and foremostly, you have a qualified architect here. You have a qualified architect here. One specializes, again, in sometimes even some sacred architect, one is actually Catholic practicing and is an actual good architect who does it from the heart, does it from his faith, especially in the context of building a cathedral or a church. Definitely that one. Definitely the later.
Yeah, the latter. Yeah, I believe that's, you know, that would be the same choice that I would make, you know.
Yeah.
And if it costs like, what, extra dollars, I wouldn't mind, you know.
Again, that could be a negotiating point. You could say to them, look, match this price, beat this price, because I want to go to you. You're the Catholic. I'd rather go to you than go to them. That's you can use that in real life. You can just always tell people to match that price as somebody else's price. I mean, you can always get a discount rather than lose the business. Again, they'll eat a little bit into their markup and still get the job. So that's the thing. This is, you never hear this. You almost never, and I guarantee you will never hear this very often, this kind of a discussion.
The difference, we all know that it exists, and it's awkward to do networking events in the Catholic circle sometimes. But, you know, why is it like when you go to secular events, everybody understands what you're there for, but whereas you're in a Catholic event, you're trying to network, it's kind of like everybody doesn't understand what they're doing there. I've never recognized that concept.
And this is what we have to work on in the next 5 years. I believe we have a job to do in the next 5 years. The church hierarchy and the church laity have to work together very closely. And look, let's now recap on the three practical tools, Akita. So you gave us two here this week.
So my first one was to go to a variety of events.
Yep.
And to attend those different things.
Exactly.
And, do you remember the second one, George?
No, I don't.
Did we have a second one, or did you just make it up?
No, that was the third one, I believe.
You made the third one up, but what was the second one?
I think did we already forget?
I don't even think we spoke about it.
What was the second one? Let's now go into that.
Well, my second one was, you know, to make sure that you do a follow-up if you do meet someone who's relevant.
That's correct. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Just remembered it now. No, I did do the third one. So the follow-up's important. So get that business card. Get that business card. Follow up with that person. It's very important. Get their number, email, business card. Leave with either three, one of those things, and you exchange details. Follow up with a message a week or two later, or that night, nice meeting you. It's very important. But then the third one is create a list of Catholic services that you can actually use and go integrate it into your parish. You have a job to do as a layperson. The parish priests listening can do this in helping support their fellow parishioners. And because if we grow the Catholic economy, the Catholic force will be great again. And so, look, thank you for equipping us with the tools this week, Akita Sanchez. And now it's time for us to put them into action. Tune in next week. Very special guest, founder of the Catholic Apparel, Andre. So Catholic Apparel runs here in Australia as a pop-up store and online store, creating great, again, procuring Catholic services. There is nothing better than if you want a hoodie, a jacket, anything to wear to get through the winter or even through the summer, shirts. Go to www.catholicapparel.com.au to get your next Catholic piece with beautiful, they have such beautiful hoodies with pictures of the saints, quotes, and definitely, you know, you're going to buy a jumper, you're going to buy a jacket, you're going to buy a hoodie, I'll buy it from Catholic Apparel. So they'll be live with us next week, Catholic Apparel, 8 p.m. live on the Voice of Charity Radio Network. So be sure to subscribe and download to the Catholic Toolbox podcast to re-listen to any of our episodes live on the Voice of Charity and any exclusive episodes. You may be missing out on your exclusive episode of the Catholic Toolbox. So subscribe from any podcast platform, type in the Catholic Toolbox. You'll see our crest, our shield, the Art of Practical Catholicism. Tune in there for the exclusive ones. We have such amazing guests that come on, and this is not done live on radio, this is on the podcast purely. So join our podcasting community. Thank you for listening to the Catholic Toolbox, the Art of Practical Catholicism. I'm your host and founder, George Manassa. Until next week, God bless, stay safe, and take action. In this era of grave spiritual crisis, it is not enough to simply know about your Catholic faith. That is why we need a Catholic toolbox to equip us with the practical skills necessary to live our Catholic faith, to reach our ultimate goal, which is heaven for all eternity. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. for the Catholic Toolbox as we hand you the tools to go forth, live the faith, and change our modern world today. Live on the Voice of Charity.